Today I have chapter 19. It's about fire and brimstone. Fire and brimstone. It's not a very common sermon in many churches today, but for me I think it's an important sermon for those who are waiting on Jesus coming back. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we are here before you again, asking for your mercy, asking for you to move upon us, Lord, asking for you to teach us, Lord, what you want us to know. Speak to us, Lord, each one of us. You know the heart of each one of us, Lord, and you know where we are lacking, and you know where we need your guidance, and you know where we need a push, and you know where we need to be reminded. So, Lord, this morning our eyes are fixed on you, waiting for you to tell us what you want us to do. You keep on telling us day after day, but each day is a new day. Amen? Hallelujah. As I said, we are on Genesis chapter 19. And I start reading from verse 1. And say, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. If I stop there, when you start, the Lot was Abraham's relative. And they parted way. Lot chose where to go and left Abraham the other way. When I think of that, I said, sometimes we need to be careful of our choices. We need to think of what we choose. Because when I think of it, I think Abraham was so, had a lot of wisdom. Because he knew that if I'm listening to the voice of God, it doesn't matter where I go. If he goes with me, I will be successful. I don't know if Lot did put that in his mind when he chose the, because the, we were told that the plane which he chose, it was very fertile. By the eye, it was very good. And as we continue with our sermon today, you will see how sin can look so good. You look at something, it seems really good in our eyes, but is it good before God? Verse 2, and he said, behold now, my Lord, turn, I pray, to you, to your servant house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, no, but we will abide in the street all night. And he, meaning Lot, pressed upon them greatly, and they turned unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house around, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men who came into your house this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out on the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let them, I pray, bring them out unto you and do you them as good in your eyes. Wow. What kind of father is this? He's giving his own daughters. He knows those people, they are not unto good. But he said, come and take. This is kind of compromise. Lot was a man of compromise. Although he's known as a man, he knew God. But when you go through, the name Lot itself means veil. So there was a things hidden behind him. Because as a parent, imagine who will do that? Who? Oh no, the world is saying that, take my daughters. That's why the Bible says that your yes should be yes and your no should be no. Anything more is from the devil. Because you say no, do not do this. So why add on, I will give you my daughters? Did he think that will please God? I don't know what he was thinking. I really don't know when I'm thinking, I'll give you my daughters. Just imagine the way you love your children. You give them to people. Because definitely because it was a mob, because they say they come young and old, they would have died. I think they would not be alive. And if Lot did believe that these people are not ordinary people, they are from God, because I believe that's what he believed. If God can send someone to you, extraordinary person, an angel to you to tell you something, what makes you believe that he will not protect you and you offer people who are coming to you something else to compromise with them? Why should you compromise? Why, you know, God is on your side. Why should you compromise your life? You know for sure God who sent these angels to me, because Lot did know that these people are special. And if he knew they are special, I believe he'd believe they are sent by God. The same God who sent them can protect you from that mob. So why are you offering something? This is typical our lives. We do like to compromise. We do like to offer things to please people. We do like to please people. What will they say? How will they look at me? What will they say about me? No, if you stand on the truth, God is on your side always. Always. And verse 9 says, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into the sojourn and he will needs to be a judge. Now we'll deal worse with you than with them. And they pressed so upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Remember, Lot came from another community to dwell with these people. As I said, if you look on the history of Lot, when he decided to go the other side, the Bible says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. You see, he saw Sodom. He went and pitched his tent toward there. As if it was not enough, he went and lived with them. And as we come to this chapter, verse 1, he said he was sitting on the gate, which indicating he was the leader now. You see? You see, these are my friends. I can go with them to the nightclub. No, they can be my friend. Don't get me wrong there. You are supposed to have friends. But you say, these are my friends. I can be with them. They go to the nightclub. You know what? I can go with them. Before you know it, you are the leader who is going to call them to go to do evil things or sinful things. Because you saw them. You see, it is good to be with them. You saw it is good to join them. Now, they choose you to be their leader. Because here it indicates that Lot was the leader. That's why he was sitting on the gate. And the other question I ask myself, he was sitting on the gate. The Bible tells us when he left, when he was with Abram, he had a lot of cattle. He was a herdsman. So I'm asking myself, what happened? Why was he not shepherding his cattle? Why was he not doing what he was supposed to do from the beginning? Now he was sitting on the gate. What happened to the flocks which he had? What happened? I don't know. That's still the question I'm asking myself. What happened to them? And now they say that now he wants to judge us. Yes, you choose them as you chose him as your friend. So when he's telling you not do this, he's the leader. But they're looking at him as an alien. He's no longer a leader. This fellow just came and now he wants to lead us. He wants to judge us. Who does he think he is? Who do you think you are to tell us what to do? We do face that most of the time. Many times people ask, who do you think you are to tell me what to do? I'm an adult. I'm a grown-up. We have youth here in the midst of us. The youth of nowadays, they said, Nathan doesn't tell me that because he knows who I am. But I think deep down he doesn't think, who do you think you are although he cannot say that. Because you are telling him to do something, he keep on arguing and arguing. And I said, I told you to do that. I'm not going to repeat. He knows when I said I'm not going to repeat, trouble is coming. So he will do it even if he doesn't want to do it. So deep down, probably say, who do you think you are? I'm your mother. I can tell you what to do. I'm the one who's leading you in this world. So youth who are here, when you're told something to do something with an elder, don't ask them, who do you think you are? They know what is best for you. Amen? Amen. But the men, the two angels, put forth their hand and pull Lot into the house to them and shut the door. You see how God can do things? You see how God works? And they smote the men who were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, and they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men, meaning the angels, said unto Lot, have you here any besides son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, and whosoever you have in the city? Bring them out of this place. God is so merciful. Remember, they say that when they came, men of the city, small and young, meaning even if Lot has got relative, they were there, because they said all men of the city came. But still, God, being merciful, he wanted to save his relatives. Because when his son-in-laws were among them, although the Bible that doesn't say, but they were outside, which means they were among them, but they still wanted to save them. But Lot, being a compromising man, even when he went to tell them, they did not believe him. When he went to call them to say that, come, the God is going to destroy this city, they did not believe them. Sometimes we need to be serious, because when we compromise a lot, even when we say something which is serious, people, they don't believe us. They don't listen. Because we are told here that he went to ask them to come so they can go together, but they did not believe him. This is verse 14. And Lot went out and spoke unto his son-in-law, which married his daughter, and said, up get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one who mocked unto his son-in-law. You know, in this world which we live, we like to follow the crowd. We like to do what everyone is doing. We don't want to be left behind, that's the word I can say, especially our youth of today. They don't like to be left behind. Oh, my friend has got this, I want this. Oh, my friend does do this, I want to do this. Oh, my friend, all my friends, they do go to this place, I want to go to this place. That's the youth which we have these days. But they need to understand, youth, who you are here, you need to understand, you are peculiar. You are a chosen generation. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. You can have friends, but you need to be careful what to listen, what to follow, what to join in, and not what to join in. Nathan used to get in trouble in school, day in, day out. When you ask him, he will say, my friend, we are doing this. My friend, are doing this. My friends. And I say, Nathan, you need to stop telling me, my friend. When I'm asking you something, tell me, you. I'm asking you, I'm not asking about your friends. Tell me about you. Don't give me account of your friends. Those your friends, they have their family, they have their parents, they know what they are doing. But me, if the teacher is telling me you have done this, I'm asking you, I'm not asking what your friends were doing. So I was thinking, what am I going to do? I shouted and shouted and shouted, nothing was changing. I shouted and I said to his dad, I said, you know what? Come to a place, we don't need to shout anymore. And believe me, when we stop shouting, there's a massive changes. I think he thought himself, he said, now they are not telling me what I need to change. Probably they had enough of me. Probably that's what he thought, because he's laughing, but he knows what I'm saying is true. When we stop shouting, there is a massive changes. Even the teachers, they have said, even now he can see that he's getting points almost every day when he goes to school. Because he knows. They have told me. And God will keep on shouting at us. But we don't listen. And God will be quiet. You know, sometimes in life we do say, you know what? No, I need to change. I need to change. Doesn't mean my ways are correct. Doesn't mean what I'm doing correct. Even if there is no one is telling me. Because God will not come to you as a man to tell you are wrong or you are right. We'll use people. You will use teachers. You will use your neighbors. You will use your friend. We'll use whoever. As I'm standing here now, when I was preparing this message, I said, Lord, this is really difficult message. And he said to me, what you tell them, and I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit tells to me, said, he who have ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And I said, oh. Because when I started to prepare this message, for me, music does preach to me more than words. So before even I start to prepare, the song which came to me is Come, Jesus, Come. And I'm just looking, Come, Jesus, Come. Oh, yeah. He said, because when you in this world, things which are happening now, wrong has been called right. And right has been called wrong. If I stand in the street now and telling people that if you sin, you go to hell, I will be arrested because I'm wrong, according to them. I'm wrong. Who are you? Who do you think you are? If I go out now and, God forbid, and stand up and say, I'm coming out. I decided to live another way of life. Now I'm gay. I will get a lot of friends, believe me. And the people that will praise me, she's so brave. She's so brave, she just came out. We used to use the word pride. Everyone is pride. I'm proud of who I am. Are you? Are you not proud of who you are? Are you not proud of who God created you to be? But now if you say the word pride, it means there is what they call celebration of pride. Everyone, they just excluded us from the word pride. We are not supposed to be pride anymore. No, for me, I'm still proud of who I am. I'm proud of who I am. God has created me the way I am, and I am unique. The Bible says that. No one is like me. The rainbow used to be a symbol of covenant from God, but now the rainbow, if you wear the clothes with those colors and everything, it means something else. The word gay used to be happy. To be happy with people, they used to use it just to be happy. But now when you use it, it means a different kind of thing. But you know what? When he comes, he's not coming for the feeble one. He's coming for a strong church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2 to 9, he said, for we know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come, and them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, we who know him, we are not in darkness. So that day should surprise us like thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who are asleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This speaks it about Genesis 19. I cannot continue reading because we don't have that much time. If you continue reading here, they say when the angel came to take Lot out of Sodom, Lot, being a man of compromise, did not want to go. They have to grab him. They have to grab him. Sometimes God is taking us out of danger, but we don't want to listen. We need to be grabbed out of that. And how is the grabbing of God does go? Sometimes the messages which are not comfortable like this one, that is grabbing. Because when someone come and grab you wherever you are, you won't feel comfortable. So when you hear the message which does not make you comfortable, give God the glory because he's trying to grab you from wherever you are. That is the grabbing like what the angel did. We are told that when they took Lot from Sodom, his wife looked back. In the Bible, we have an example of people who look back. On Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 says that we know the story of Ruth. Verse 16 says, do not ask me to leave you and turn back wherever you go. I will go wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. This was Ruth's mother-in-law was telling her to go back to where she came from. Most of us here, I believe all of us, we are saved. If you are not saved, please do not leave this place today without giving your life to Christ. There are things we used to do, things we used to see, they are them normal. But since we found Jesus, no one told you to stop. But you decided yourself and said, you know, this is not kind of my thing. This is not the place I should go. This is not kind of things I should continue watching on the television. This is not the kind of things I should entertain. But all the time, there are these voices who are calling us to look back. There are voices which are telling us, remember what you used to do. Remember this, remember that, is calling you to look back. Brethren, we need to be careful. We are told that Lot's wife turned to a pillar of salt. One commentary said that that pillar of salt is a reminder to us Christians that we need to be careful of the things we do. And as a Christian, as a salt, we are the flavor. Salt always used to flavor, to season in something. So we as Christians, that pillar of salt remind us to go and tell people of the danger of the life we are living. That the judgment is coming. That the end is coming. We don't know when, but the Bible tells us it is coming. We need to be ready. We need to be watchful. We need to wait with hope. We need to wait knowing that Jesus is coming back for his church. We need to be ready. If it will be today, we don't know. If it will be maybe now, we don't know. If it will be next year, we don't know. We as Christians, we need to be ready all the time. When we look back, we cannot experience God in trying times. If we decide to go back, because we think, oh no, now, oh, this is too much. Probably if I try this, it will help. Eh? Because there are Lot, when he said that I can offer you my two daughters, he was trying to help God in one way or another. Trying to say that if I give you this, all the problem will end. It's like you are facing maybe difficulty. Maybe you have a sickness. Maybe you have a financial problem. Maybe you have, I don't know what kind of problem you have this morning. But there are people, voices telling you, you can do this. We have heard now that on a supermarket, some of supermarkets, they want to remove the self-checkout because people, they are stealing a lot using those self-checkout. So if you are struggling with the finance, you can hear people telling you, you can go on a checkout. I don't know how they work it out, but you can go out with a lot of things without paying. But is that what God wants you to do? Even if you manage to go out without paying, yes, we know you have a financial problem, but shortcut is not the answer. It will help you today, but what about tomorrow? It might help you tomorrow as well, but they said there is a one day for a thief, one day for the owner, not for the thief, one day for the owner. When David thought God could not help him, he chose to seek refuge with the heathen to protect himself from Saul. This is 1 Samuel chapter 27 and verse 1. And when Judas betrayed Jesus, after realization, instead of looking at Jesus the Savior, he chose to look back at what he did and the regret, and he ended up hanging himself. Instead of looking at Jesus, we know that the thief on the cross did look at Jesus and he was forgiven. But Judas did decide to look back. We look back at certain stage and circumstances, but one thing for sure, Jesus is the only answer. Like Lot, much of church today is silence of the things which are happening inside and outside of the church. We call it sitting on the fence. We're just looking. We cannot say anything. Last week, Ella preaching about interceding. As church, we need to intercede for others. We need to pray for the benefit for those who are not here last week. We need to pray for our streets. We need to pray for our community. We need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our colleagues at work. We need to intercede. Because on the story of Lot, without Abraham, I don't think he could have been saved. On chapter 19, Abraham prayed and he asked the Lord, because the Lord told Abraham of what is going to happen in Sodom. And Abraham interceded and said, God, if you find 50 people who are righteous, are you going to destroy the city as well? God said no, but God did know that there is no 50. Abraham went down until I think he ended up on 20 or so, something like that. God said no. But we can see here there were not even 20, but God did remember Abraham's prayers. Because Abraham, although he was interceding, when I read on that, I was laughing. I said that, you know, we are told not to be selfish. But when I look at Abraham, somehow he was a little bit selfish. Because when he was praying, he was thinking of his relative. He was thinking of Lot. So sometimes we can be selfish. We are interceding, but we need to think of our loved one who needs Jesus. The loved one who are in trouble. We intercede for the street, but we need to put our children first as well. Because we are praying. Because Abraham here was interceding, but in his head was thinking of Lot. Is Lot going to be destroyed as well? But God is always faithful. People in Genesis 18 verse 20 in Sodom and Gomorrah lost their morals. And this kind of life is very much resurrected today. Within our society, it's very pretty clear that morals have gone. Where did it go? Can we find it? It's only prayer. Because when the morals are lost, as I said earlier, you'll be praised by television, by media, by people, by leaders. And people, they will say, don't judge me. Don't judge me of what I'm doing. I'm an adult after all. On verse 15, the angel came to Lot with a message which is very unpopular today. Judgment. Hurry, they said to Lot, take your wife and your two daughters who are here. Go out right now, or you will be swept away in destruction of the city. The time is running out, church. You can agree with me or you can decide to disagree. Preaching of repentance is not something which is common nowadays. Preaching of the judgment is not something people they like. Preaching of hellfire and brimstone is something people, they have put it afar from where they are. They think that it doesn't concern us. There are liberals who say that, yes, you can be saved and you can continue doing whatever you want to do. Continue being who you are. Continue doing things which you used to do. You are not changed, because the Bible said to be saved is to be born again. If you've been born again, all the past is gone and you are a new creation. In fact, the Bible says new creation. You've been created anew by the Spirit of the living God. So how can you be doing the same thing which you used to do before and you still say that I am different, I'm a new creation? No, you are not a new creation if you continue doing the same thing you used to do before. Your language has not changed. Your behavior has not changed. Your countenance with people has not changed. And you said, I am a born-again Christian. Mm-mm. That one doesn't work. Changes. Jesus does change us from inside. And that change you need to be seen outside. That's something new in you. Something new has happened to you. You used to be like this. Why you have changed? I like to use the example of Pastor Rob every time. He said that the friends used to have, they said, you have changed. Although they did not like his change, they said, you have changed. And they told him that we used to like you the way you used to be, the way he used to be bad. That's why they used to like him, though they want him to go back to his ways. So it's up to you. Will you look back? Will you continue walking? Because we are walking. We are running the race. The race to receive the crown, which is incorruptible. We will find people on the way. Some will want to walk with us, so we need to encourage them so we can continue the race with them. Some will mock you. Some will discourage you. Some will pull you back. It's up to you to be wiser, to know that I have decided and no looking back. I'm not turning back. No time for compromise. Lot was hiding in the midst of others. Every time when I think of it, I don't know why. he chose to dwell in there? Did he think that probably I can overcome, or maybe I can change these people, or maybe I can be different? And most of the time, that's what we think. He said, I know where my faith is. I can be with these people. I can go with them. I can join them, but I know I can keep my faith. Deep down, I think, this is me, not the Bible. I think that's what Lot was thinking. I can dwell with these people and I can still be different. There is a lot and a lot of temptations. We pray, do not put us into temptation. But if you yourself, you're putting yourself into temptation, and then you're blaming God. Everything which goes wrong, you blame God while you put yourself through that situation. Everything which is not working, you say, God. I was talking to one sister this week. She was talking about a friend. That friend knows that sister is a Christian. But every time bad thing happens, does go to blame that sister. Say, it is your God. It is your God. And I asked the sister, what do you do? He said, I don't know what to do. Yeah, probably she doesn't know what to do. But it is to bring that person to God and to tell that person, where do you stand? To know exactly what is your stand and who do you believe and where he brought you from and where you are now and why he is so precious to you and you cannot look back now, only looking forward. Yes, trials will come, temptation will come, things will be difficult. Doesn't mean that when you are saved, things will be rose all the time. Things will be difficult. And I can tell you, you know what? When your breakthrough is near is when things are really, really difficult. And that is when the temptation is there for you to give up. It's when the temptation is there for you to look back. But always tell the devil, I come too far to look back now. Forward always. Following God and living up for his potential for us require constant effort. Like Lot, we are surrounded by corrupt, sinful society. But should we leave the society? No. We need to set ourselves apart and to pray, to intercede for them. Lot could have left Sodom and made a place for himself. And you know what? The Holy Spirit reminded me, Lot, when he was taken out of Sodom, God wanted him to go a certain place. But being a man of compromise, he said, I want to go there. How many times God has asked us to leave a place and we choose somewhere to go instead of where God is asking us to go? And then you start to complain. And we know what happened. What happened to his daughters? What he was trying to do to his daughters, that's what exactly his daughters did to him. And his daughters, they were a little bit of lying, say, there is no men left. That was not a truth. It's only Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. There were still other people in other societies. It's only on that one city. And they told each other, there is no anyone else. And again, they said, let us continue the lineage of our father. To inherit what? Because you are like a refugee. You don't have anything. They were living in a cave. The devil can put things in your mind, which sometimes when you are sober, you cannot explain. How did you come to the decision which you made? Because when you look back, you think, what was I thinking? We are not told about if they did look back after what they did, but definitely we know the Moabites and those who were born there, they become the enemy up this day. You may think, what were they thinking? And that is the same as we are. Things we do, when you look back, by the grace of God, you say, what was I thinking? How did I end up there? Was it really me? Yes, it is. It was you. It was me. We love our Lord because he's merciful, he's gracious, and he doesn't remember how stupid and sinful things we do. As long as we turn unto him and ask for forgiveness, he immediately forgave us. And said, as far as east and west, that where he does put our sins. We can be bold on his word and stand on it no matter the circumstances. Proclaim his goodness and faithfulness. The truth will always make us free. Why should we fear with the certain circumstances? After all, the world is not our final destination. We are passing, and one day we see him coming back. The question is, when he comes back, which state will he find us? Will we ride with him? Will we go with him? Because he's coming with his heavenly army and angels dressing in white with the voice of trumpet will be sounding everywhere. And the Bible is telling us those who died in Christ will rise up. Those who are still in the earth will be transformed to join them. Sometimes when I'm thinking of that, I do like to think of the song which I like a lot. And imagine that song, singing that song, in fact, better than you know it. You know, imagine of the song you like to hear. Imagine to hear that song being sung even better. And you are among them singing that song, rejoicing, dancing. And they say there will be no more war. There will be no more pain. There will be no more sickness. There will be no, there is no worry. You won't be worrying about anything. It's all rejoicing, dancing. Just, can you imagine? I don't want to miss that. I don't know about you. But I believe no one wants to miss that. That's the reason we are here, folks. That's the reason we praise him. That's the reason we worship him. That's the reason we draw close to him. That's the reason we were born, that we will see him on that day. All the questions which you have, they will be answered. All the doubts and everything, you will get the answer. So today, I encourage you to fix your eyes upon him and be ready for his coming soon. In Revelation 1, verse 7, it says that, behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Hallelujah.